Hi, this is Marsha Hines, and you're listening to My 88. Jitterbug. Jitterbug.
My 88.
Listening to My 88. Wayne Tunks this morning, and I am so excited to have my next guest on the line. She is an icon of music. It is the one, the only, Marsha Hines. Thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure, Wayne. My pleasure.
Now, Marsha, you are celebrating 50 years in the business. You must have started at one.
I must have started at one. I have no idea how this has happened, Wayne, but it's all happening. You know, 50 years is a while to be in the business, to be in any business, you know?
You've seen a lot of changes in that time in the industry as well, haven't you?
Indeed.
Now, what do you think are some of the highlights of your career?
Oh, gee, look, I would say when I first won Queen of Pop, that was pretty huge. But my first gig that I got in Australia was in theatre, and that was getting the part in Hair, the musical. And then, you know, it progressed from there. Wayne and I was able to do Mary Magdalene in Jesus Christ Superstar. And then I tell you what was really cool. I toured Russia.
Wow.
Well, yeah, I toured Russia with this amazing band called the Daily Wilson Big Band a while ago. And we were there for a month. That was really eye-opening. But it was great because we were playing to huge crowds, you know. And yeah, that was really eye-opening for me.
I bet it was. Now, you have had a lot of culture shocks in your life. You grew up in Boston and then came to live in Sydney. Well, how was that as a 16-year-old?
You didn't hear me, but I said I was born and bred in Boston, and I came to do the gig in Austria because I had no idea where Australia was. No idea, man. None.
Well, I think Australia is a better place to end up than Austria. No offense to the Austrians.
I have to agree, you know, but I had no idea where I was coming and what was going to happen when I got to Australia, you know, and the kindness of Australia has never ceased to amaze me. Australians are very kind people.
Now, Hair was such a revolutionary show, and you were just 16 that. I can't imagine that happening today.
Oh, you mean me getting the gig today?
No, a 16-year-old taking that role and just having that much fun and doing Hair.
Well, look, it was amazing. And look, I'd always been a singer, you know, I always wanted to sing. And then Hair showed up in Boston, and some friends of mine did it in Boston and said to me, oh, you know, come and audition because we can all hang out together if you're in the show. And I just said, look, I don't want to be stuck in Boston forever. If it's in Chicago or New York or something, I'd go, but I don't want to be stuck in Boston. And lo and behold, two really talented Australians, Sandra McKenzie and Jim Sharman, came to Boston to specifically look for black kids for the part. And I heard about it through some friends, and it was presented to my mother because my friends were they were already professional performers. And they said, oh, look, they said to my friend who was an actor, he was Shakespearean actor, they said to him, you're great, but what we want rough diamonds. And he said, I know just the girl, but I think she's underage. So he spoke to my mom, and my mother presented me with the idea. And I said, yeah, I'd like to try that. It was only 6 months, Wayne. That's the other thing. I don't okay, 6 months, 50 years later, I'm still here.
Well, we are happy that you are here. Now, you also iconically played Mary Magdalene in Jesus Christ Superstar. Uh-huh. That's a show that Australia has just loved so much over the years. It is a wonderful show, isn't it?
It's brilliant. The score, you know, like when I was in the show, I'd sit by the side of the stage just to listen to how beautiful the score to Jesus Christ Superstar was. And also, you know, I'm going to Skype here. The people in the show, you know, it was like John English, Stevie Wright, Trevor White, and John Paul Young. Now, you know, those are some singers, you know. And so it was so embraced by the Australian public, that show. And look, a lot of people didn't like it, Wayne, you know, because they found it, you know, wrong to be singing like that about Jesus. But the people that did come along just enjoyed it immensely. And I remember watching it thinking, this is the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Now, while we're talking about musicals, you're about to start another one and another iconic show loved by Australians. You're about to play Teen Angel in Greece. Are you excited about that?
I am. I'm excited to see what sort of apparatus they strap me in, you know. I have no idea, and they're still you know, creating it. So I'm looking forward to it, you know, and it's a great song, made famous, you know, by quite a few people. So I look forward to sort of seeing what I can bring to the table, you know.
Yes, definitely. Now, you are performing this Saturday night at the Blue Mountains Theatre. If people want to go see it, they can't because it's sold out. But what can people expect from the show?
Look, excuse me, I will be doing a lot of my old songs, and I talk to the audience, you know, quite a bit during the show, and we all have a bit of a chat. Most importantly, you know, I'm doing all of my old stuff and two of the new songs that are in the repertoire. And, well, I can't tell you everything, because if I tell you everything, you don't want, nobody's going to be surprised by what they see. But it's a lovely show. We have, it's a lovely show with two amazing guys, one amazing female percussionist, and me.
Lovely. And you are celebrating with your new album as well, Still Shining. Tell us all about that.
Well, Still Shining, that was kind of hard to put together because I had to choose a certain amount of songs to put on the album, you know, and my manager and I talked about it for ages to try and work out the best configuration for an album, and then it had to translate to a show as well that be happening on Saturday. So, you know, like, I heard a great performer, Quincy Jones, say every song that a performer writes or sings is like their child, and it's very hard for them to separate themselves from it, you know. And so I put some new songs, which I've got two new songs called I'm Still Standing and Hard to Breathe. And then I've put Shining back into my show because I didn't sing it for about 20 years. And I don't know. There was something. I'm a great believer. I only sing what I believe, and I didn't believe in the song. And then when I sung it not long ago, maybe like about a week and a half ago after not singing it, it just blew me out, Wayne. I thought, what a beautiful song.
Wow.
What a beautiful. Yeah, it's crazy, huh?
Reunited with one of your children.
Yeah, that's what. Hey, amen. That's me.
Now, I have been wanting to tell you this for a very long time. I used to hold Australian Idol parties every single Sunday night. My friends and I'd get together, eat pizza, drink champagne, and often yell at the screen. You were our favourite judge. We never yelled at you.
But you do yell at the screen, as you do, you know.
You were such a part of a cultural phenomenon in this country that I don't think can ever be matched again.
It'll be interesting, though. You know, I enjoyed that job. But it was a real head spin for me in the beginning, you know, because all those kids wanted to do is they just wanted to sing like I sing, you know, they wanted to be in the business. And there, but for the grace of God, go I. And so it was very hard to judge them. But I've been around really good, positive people in my life, Wayne. And the thing is, you get more with positivity than you do with a destructive criticism. And so I always tried to be as when they were listening, also they were a deer in the headlights, you know. Sometimes I'd look at them and speak to them and think, they're not even hearing me. I know it. Because, I mean, they've been plucked from obscurity and placed into every household that was willing to watch the show, and it was really a popular show.
And it must be lovely to see that now people like, you know, Guy and Jess Malboy and Casey Donovan, to see them shining so much and still all these years later, you must feel really proud.
Yeah, I love them. You know, I love them then, and I love them even more now. Because, you know, it's not an easy business, Wayne. It's not easy. And there are many sacrifices that have to be made, and you have to really stay focused, you know, and stay real to stay in this industry. And I've been very lucky to have good people around me, too.
Yeah. Now, you have won the ARIA Hall of Fame in 2007, and also you were made an OAM in 2009. That must have felt very special to get those honours from your peers.
It felt brilliant. Excuse me. It felt brilliant because I've heard people say, oh, you know, all those awards and accolades, that's bull. And I always say the only people who say that are ones who have never received one. You know?
In their face.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's not nice of me, but it's the truth of the matter. And, you know, like when your peers or the people around you acknowledge you, you've achieved something, no better feeling than that. And maybe the better feeling that would be your family, you know?
Yeah,
definitely. But, yeah, other than that, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Now, we are an 80s station, and we play all 80s, and a song that we play a lot and that I absolutely love is Your Love Still Brings Me to My Knees. So tell me all about making that song.
Oh, look, you know, I think I was in London, and Dusty Springfield had already recorded it. And I don't know, it was like an okay hit for her. And I was working with an Australian guy called David Mackay, who had, he was doing Bonnie Tyler and all these huge acts in London. And we used to go to his studio each day. And the song, we're talking about songs. We need an up-tempo song. He said, I've got an up-tempo song. I'm not sure if you'd like to sing it, but have a listen. And I listened and I thought, this song's great. It's great. And I do that live too, which is great. I do that song live.
Yeah. Wonderful. And coming up next, I see on your website that you're going to be making a gospel album. How's that going?
Oh, thanks for asking. So during Vivid last year, I was able to do some gospel music. I was brought up in church, and I jumped at the idea. It was my manager's once again, my manager's idea and another guy called Simon Mani. And we went into the studio. It was all during the COVID stuff, and everybody couldn't be in the studio at the same time. And it was difficult, but because it was so difficult, it came out beautifully. And then I was able to sing it at St. Stephen's Church in Macquarie Street. And so we had like three nights there of all gospel music. And so that hopefully will be coming out in November.
Ah, just in time for Christmas.
Hey.
Perfect
present. I'm not stupid. No. Yeah. You know, everybody loves Christmas carols. And I still listen to a radio station out of L.A., you know, Wayne. And on our Monday, it's their Sunday, and they play all this great gospel music. And I actually pull over. If I'm driving the car, I pull over and listen to the song. Yeah, gospel music is very, very close to my heart.
And music really is just such a wonderful thing, isn't it? It just brings people together and allows you to emote.
It does, you know. I mean, it's my primal scream, you know what I mean? Like, it allows me to stand on stage and express myself. And, you know, singers are storytellers, Wayne. You know, so I love telling a story here or there. So, you know, I can talk under wet cement. You know, I don't have a problem. I like chatting, you know.
Thank you so much, Marcia Hines, for chatting today. Everyone needs to get a copy of Still Shining. And also, if you can get a ticket, go see her wonderful show as well. Marcia, thanks for chatting.
Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it, Wayne.
This is My 88.